The Guardian.
There's several factors that make scalloped hammerhead really susceptible. First of all, it takes a really long time to reach maturity. It doesn't mature until it's 16 years of age. It's caught in a wide variety of fisheries. It's found coastally throughout temperate and tropical waters, so it's taken as bycatch in coastal fisheries that are targeting swordfishes and tunas. It's taken targeted for its fins because its fins are one of the most highly valued fin types on the Asian market. And it's really easy to catch a lot of them if fishermen hit upon them because this is one of the species of sharks that schools. So these travel in really large schools, particularly congregating around islands. And so if fishermen hit upon them, it's pretty easy to wipe out a whole school. When they are schooling, I mean, they're an incredibly beautiful species. And so there's a lot of underwater video of them. I mean, they're absolutely gorgeous. Ecotourism is starting up for these species so that divers can go and see them, particularly in the Galapagos. And I think that that's a really positive thing because it's a way for everyday people to see that these sharks aren't big and, I mean, they're big, but they're not big and scary like the idea that we have of sharks from Jaws, but that rather they're really beautiful, absolutely majestic predators.
As someone who sort of is deeply concerned about the conservation of sharks around the world, and you've worked with them for most of your career, I mean, isn't it a depressing job to have to put them onto things like endangered lists? I mean, how does that feel?
It's a bit of a depressing job to have to move more and more of these species onto IUCN Red List, but it's also a way to flag them and to say, hey, listen up, these species are becoming endangered. We have an opportunity right now to make a big change to if we can implement effective management measures. Right now, because they're getting put on these lists, a lot of resolutions are being passed right now calling for stronger shark management, and what we need to see now is to move beyond those resolutions and actually get fishing curtailed globally if we're going to make a difference and actually save these shark species.
Well, what happens in a local ecology when the top predator, like a shark, disappears?
Well, what we've seen here, we did a study last year on the east coast of the U.S., and what we saw there was that as all of the really large sharks declined, we saw increases in their prey species, specifically the smaller shark species that they eat and skates and rays. And so what happens is that through fishing is basically chopping off the top of the food web right now. So fishing is so efficient that rather than just taking out one species of shark, in which case others might be able to compensate, instead what's happening with current fisheries is that they wipe out all the species, and then there's really no predation left in the system. And so, of course, all of the prey species start to increase. So the system really gets out of balance. And we know that similarly on land, where wolf populations can control moose populations, predators can control their prey, and sharks being top predators in the ocean can play a really important role in controlling their prey populations.
Do you think that we might see the end of sharks in our lifetime?
Increasingly, fisheries collapses are coming to the public's attention. The public understands that a lot of fisheries are collapsing worldwide, but so far no marine fishes are really going extinct. And I think that sharks could unfortunately prove the exception to that rule, and that it's very likely that we will see shark extinctions happening over the coming decades if we don't take immediate management action now.
For more discussion and analysis, download Guardian Daily. That's The Guardian's news podcast, available first thing in the morning, Monday to Friday.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.